Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day. Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. Don't live your life on hold with online car insurance that's driven to save you time and money.
Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1.
You are all very welcome back. I'm joined now in studio by Professor Roseanne Kenny, head of the Ageing Research Programme at Trinity College Dublin. Good morning, Roseanne.
Hi, how are you?
Great to have you with us in studio. As I mentioned there at the top of the show, we had an unbelievable response when I talked the other day because, of course, Courtney Cox turned 60 and she was on her Instagram looking amazing and almost joking at the therapies she uses to hold back the years. But I think never has aging been so much on the agenda as now with all the knowledge we have.
That's right. So the knowledge has escalated over the last number of years. And also the demographics have changed. Relatively, in populations, we've relatively more people who are older and relatively fewer people because of drops in fertility rates who are in younger cohorts. And as those younger cohorts are aging, of course, they're coming into older cohort age bands. So proportionately, we have many more people in Ireland over the age of 65, for example, than we did two decades ago. And there's volume in that number. And also there's a whole load of research in this area. We're understanding a lot more about why we age, although we don't have the final answer with respect to that, and what we can do to ensure a healthier, more resilient aging process.
Yeah, because we want to live longer, better, and that's the whole thing
better,
as well. But
yeah.
Perception really matters when it comes to aging. Yeah. I believe it can actually affect people's biological response to the aging process.
And this is why this conversation is so important, actually, because how we see ourselves aging, how positive we are about the experience of aging, actually influences how we age physically and how our brain health also ages, how we age cognitively. And we looked at this in the Tilda study that you very kindly mentioned.
Yeah.
And people who had a positive perception of how they were aging at baseline 18 years ago, who said, I don't feel my years, I feel 20 years younger or 10 years younger. And because of the way the study is designed, we were able to adjust for everything and just look at that one feeling, that one perception, and show that people who were positive, irrespective of everything else, actually had a slower physical, biological aging process. Their walking was faster. Their cognitive, their memory skills, their concentration skills were better 10, 12 years after they made that statement.
So it's almost like you look in the mirror and what's looking back at you. If you like it, you can deal with it. If you're happy in your skin, you age better.
That's right. So that's for the individual. You know, now, if you're surrounded by negativity, which was the case, I think, a couple of decades ago, but actually is becoming, I think people are becoming stronger as they get older in terms of understanding it's better. Life does get better after 50. That's a truism.
Well, listen, thank you for that now, because I'm in my 50s now and I can
tell
you, I just felt I started falling apart.
There's a U-shaped curve. We're happiest in our 20s and 30s. Then it dips to midlife. But after 50, it starts to pick up again and continues to improve until late 70s. And the only thing that impacts negatively on that is having an arthritis particularly, but having an illness. So life does get better after 50. So
and
that's
why
important.
Do you think that is? And when after 50? And why does life get better after 50? Because, you know, especially when it comes to women, we are constantly being bombarded by how to hold back the years. So that's almost a kind of a contradiction, isn't it?
There are negative attitudes about when you get older, things will start to fall apart. The truth is, and the evidence is, that creativity improves, for example. It's not all downhill from a brain perspective, which is why what's happening with Joe Biden at the moment, I think, has decelerated our positivity in this field hugely. It's not a good thing. But we have better life satisfaction and become more resilient. And actually, there are some cognitive tasks we're better at. We avoid destruction more easily with aging.
That's actually interesting.
Very
but, you know, I was looking or reading a piece of research, and I think you quoted this research yourself, that if you separate two groups. Mm. And if you give them negative words and negative connotations to aging, then they will have a negative attitude. So it's perception of yourself, but also it must be the bombardment of what's around you. So if we listen to all the negative articles or read the negative articles or the negative signs of aging, the negative connotations of aging, that will make us have a negative feelings about going forward into the next decade.
And the nice thing about that work is that that bias, that just those negative words introduced, and it was young psychology students that Becca Levi and Yale did the research on, that bias actually made those young students less able themselves to deal with stress.
And what were the words?
Oh, there were words in the negative cohort like dementia, depressed, delirious, all negative, you know, Alzheimer's. And the positive was creative, fun, happy, joyful, beautiful, you know, positive stereotypes, really. So it's important to be positive, but it's important, that's for the individual, but it's hard if you're surrounded by negativity. Now, what helps, because people want to know, well, what can I do about it? It helps if you have peer support. That's the first thing. It helps actually to have intergenerational, more intergenerational mixing. We're very much inclined to stick with our own age cohorts. It's much better to have intergenerational transactions. So to if you're older, to be with young people. They will energize you and give you positivity. You will do them a world of good to expose them to somebody older who's also positive.
And that's very interesting, because when you look at longevity worldwide and you look at places like Okinawa or you look at Sardinia in Italy, and you've got a lot more people living well into their 80s. Yes. They often live in multi-generational households and societies. So that shows that it does work.
Yes, it does. That's absolutely right. Two of the things that I think are important, I know from research, are important as we get older throughout life, but particularly as we get older, is to have curiosity and lots of variety, and to ensure that. So by living in a multi-generational household, that's what you get. You're constantly being exposed to variety and curiosity.
That makes sense. It's very logical, really, when you think about it. But I have to ask you, why are women so obsessed with aging as opposed to men? And why do we pressurize ourselves to try and look younger, where men are really happy to let their hair grow grey and have loads of lines in their faces, and we all think they're sexy? Like Tom Jones, we just played him, you know, Sex Bomb, and he wrote that when he was like 59 years of age.
Because, I mean, that's a societal thing, and that bias goes way, way back, doesn't it?
How do we stop that, though?
Well, I think by being strong about it, actually, and it depends on the individual, you know, because I know you've had a lot of correspondence about people having Botox, having facelifts, etc., wanting that. That's fine if that makes them feel positive and if their perceptions of themselves are better and it gives them that strength, that internal strength. That's fine. Others, I read, you know, couldn't care less about that. Love letting their hair grow grey. Love embracing aging in that way. It doesn't matter as long as you're happy with how you're embracing it. We've had centuries of a woman being a second-rate citizen, etc. And part of that was youth and reproduction productivity were what mattered. So I'm not going to blame men for that, of course. There are more than two genders now, possibly. But back, you know, that gender drove that agenda.
So I'll biological, that basically it was like, okay, you're a certain age, you can't reproduce, you're
absolutely
old.
Absolutely. Yeah, and so many women have said to me that they feel invisible once they experience menopause because they are no longer able to reproduce. That's changing.
It is, but and it's a good
through
thing
history
changing,
that was the way.
But the funny part was, you know, women were always blamed, and I do mean blamed, if they couldn't have children. It was like the woman. And now we know that a lot of issues are with low sperm count and all that. So we just didn't realise, but we need to be re-educated in this area. But anyway, back to ageing. So many predominantly women got in touch with us over the last few days, and lots of, even today now, it's lighting up here in front of me. The texts are coming in. More, I'm 76, I feel good, I will continue to have my hair coloured as long as I'm able. I have a brilliant hairdresser. I always get good advice. I'm in my 60s. I feel 40. Swear by hot and cold showers. Yep. Salt in drinking water every day. Bed before 10. A bit of Pilates. Eat until 75% full. And Bob's your uncle. Yep. Have a great day. And a kiss at the end of it. Well done to you. Best tip to slow ageing. Stop smoking or vaping. I'm sure that's obvious one, isn't it, really? That's from Bob. So it's great to hear the men, 51551, getting involved in this conversation as well. Because you guys age too, believe it or not. You really do. Hi, Maura. I'm in a wheelchair. I say posture for everyone to look great. Bernie, fair play. Absolutely right. So whatever you face, as Roseanne is telling us here, you can really have a positive attitude towards it. Just like our listener there that is in a wheelchair, but is like, sorry, no, I'm sitting up straight. I'm, you know, that's the way it is. Anyway, we're going to go to the phones because we have so many people on the phone today. Mm-hmm. Patricia, you are 69 years of age and you say you don't believe in growing old gracefully. You don't want to look 40.
No.
Go on, tell me all about it.
No, I don't want to look 40, but I want to look fresh. I want to look good. I think every woman shouldn't let herself go. To make the best of herself, be that with hair, makeup, clothes, shoes, Botox or fillers, and even when necessary, a facelift. You just want to look good for your age.
Okay, so what do you do? Can I ask you, what do you do yourself?
I have a beauty salon. I have two beauty salons, one in Kilmessan and one in Navan.
Okay. And have you had facelifts and Botox? Sorry to cut across you. Have you had facelifts?
No, I haven't. Yes. No. I do intend to have it this year. I intend to have cosmetic surgery. I'm 69 and I'm looking tired.
Okay. And have you tried other treatments first, like more less non-invasive than that, like Botox or fillers?
I've tried the Casey treatment, and I've tried all the creams and all the lotions and all the potions, and they're not working.
Right. And I'm reading here because you were telling our researchers that you're going to have an eye lift.
Yes, and a jaw lift this year.
Right. And what does that involve?
Well, it involves some surgery, but it'll be painless, I'm sure. A little bit of discomfort after it, but it'll be painless. When you age, everything goes south and you get jowls. Your jawline doesn't exist anymore. So if you have the money, spend it on yourself.
And that makes you feel better.
Yes, I just want to look fresh, not tired. I want to look good for my age.
And why shouldn't you? Do whatever you want. Yes. And that's what Roseanne is saying.
Yes. Women do this for themselves, not for anybody else.
And you're doing this for yourself. That's why you want to do this, for you, not for any man.
Yes, I do. Yeah. I don't like getting old. I don't like looking old.
Okay.
I don't want to be old. I want to live forever, as the song goes.
Well, I'm sure you'll be like Tom Jones and his song Sex Bomb now after all this. And have you always been, can I ask you a question? Have you always been a little bit obsessed with aging? When did you start feeling old?
Around 60.
Right.
When the cracks started to show. When the jawline dropped and when my eyes started to bag.
Right, so you're saying that's it now. I'm going to take the next step. I've had the Botox
and
whatever.
Take the next step and do something for myself, yes.
Okay. Right. Okay, I'm going to go to somebody else. Hang on there for a second. Let us go to the Dingle Peninsula and I am going to Natalie Russell. Natalie, you're the same age as Courtney Cox now. You're 60 years of age. Oh, do you look like her?
No, but I was just listening to the last speaker and I really can empathise, you know, that none of us like looking old and we want to look our best. Now, personally, I didn't go down the Botox route, but I definitely have my hair low lights and I can see it actually. It needs low lights again. But I suppose what I look at and I spent my money on things like looking into my life and personal development and I think when you know yourself, when you have an awareness and you get the attitude, the right attitude, because, I mean, I was just saying, I'm in Cork Cúchéanna. I'm in the Coláiste Cork Cúchéanna. I facilitate Zumba classes, Zumba fitness and dancing to teenagers. And I have to concur with what the professor said about the intergenerational mixing of people. That, I mean, I could go into a Zumba class feeling a bit deflated and tired. I come out after the teenagers, I mean, I'm walking on air, literally. And I mean it.
Yeah, but you know what's interesting? And that's why I said to you, do you look like Courtney Cox? Because I was reading here that you're a Zumba dancer and an instructor. So your body can be kept younger by physical exercise. And do you feel that for you, the aging process is being slightly defied every time you take a Zumba class or you instruct?
Oh, God, I do. I mean, when I'm dancing with those youngsters, I mean, I'm saying this completely from the heart. I feel 15, 16 again.
That's great.
Now, my body might feel, oh, my God, my knees, my hips, you know, be careful, just togbogge, you know, togbogge.
Togbogge, tan chertet, amanti kamach, luga, shini, yonan, or tamach, har, kiga. But can I ask you, though, do you feel slightly liberated as well by the aging process? It sounds to me like you're, what Roseanne, our professor, was saying here, that you're on that real positive side of 50, yep. You're 60, and you're embracing it, and you sound to me like a very confident woman in your skin.
Oh yeah, but that you know, that took a long time. I mean, it was really when I started going back into the personal development and looking into myself and realizing my little limitations and my, you know, my programming that just was holding me back in a lot of ways. And you know, I think the most liberating thing as you get older, and I think this is the positive message to give out to people, to women especially, is that when you get to that stage where you really don't care what people think about you. Now, I know this is really hard sometimes, but when you get to that stage where you can put your hand on your heart and say, look, if I want to have Botox, I'll have it. I don't care what people think. If I want to dance in the middle of the street, you know, at a parade, yeah. It really is liberating. And
you've never been, Natalie, you've never felt the pressure, the societal pressure, reading all those magazines, you know, being on Instagram, watching all these stars. Yeah. Have you felt the pressure of to kind of go down the tweakment route at all? Because you look, obviously you're fit and healthy and all that, but have you kind of looked and going, you know, what, maybe like our previous caller there, Patricia, she's going to have an eye lift and a neck lift. She looks in the mirror and she hates what's looking back at her.
Yeah. And I mean, listen, I've had that in the morning myself, getting, especially first thing, none of us look great first thing.
I call it the piglet look myself, because I really feel, and I'm talking about me, you know, the way I think Irish people wear, again, I'm talking about myself before people start shouting at the radio. You know, I always feel, and Roseanne, I always feel I wake up in the morning, and maybe it's a family thing, we always kind of look, and I always feel I don't have any eyes, that I look like a newborn kind of little piglety person, and that I have to put on makeup or I'll scare myself.
Oh yeah, I mean, I put moisturiser, I put a little bit of foundation every day. I mean, it's part of my morning routine, you know. But I know that sometimes, what I would actually strength. I embarked on a strength training journey last year, and I really have to say this has really helped as well, because I know that it's going to be good for my bones, the osteoarthritis, the anything. So, I'm not saying that I wouldn't. Definitely, I don't like the grey hair. I have to say that.
Yeah, but you've got the low light, so you're grand. Hang on there a second. I just want to go to Roseanne on this. Mm. I mean, Natalie has a really good attitude. Mm. She's 60, she's fit, she's healthy. The research that you talked about and the 18 years of research in Trinity has shown that this positive attitude works.
She exemplifies everything and actually expresses it far better than I could. The very fact that she said she found the intergenerational activity liberating. You know, that's quite the case. She's also mentioned correctly the importance of continued physical activity. And I would say to people after 50, try to do more physical activity every year, not less. Don't use the excuse, "Ugh, I'm getting older." You actually need more. And not just aerobic or dancing, but also, as she mentioned, strengthening exercises, and balance is very important. It'll make you feel great as well, because it releases good, feel-good hormones and biomarkers, which is one of the reasons she feels so fantastic after her classes, but not the only reason.
It's amazing. So many texts coming in on this. Hi, I am 69 going on on 70. I go skiing 6 times in the winter season. I play in open tennis tournaments each week during the summer. Great to be alive. I am also the ski bob champion of Ireland from a man. Thank you, Eugene. Great to hear from a guy as well when it comes on aging. Fair play, Eugene. That is brilliant. I'm 75. I walk 8 to 10,000 steps a day. My best anti-aging advice is hip replacement, if you need one, obviously. Yeah. That is Anne and Innes. We will continue this conversation after the break. We'll see you in a minute. You are very welcome back to the show. I nearly missed my cue there. I was chatting so much here in studio. We have Professor Roseanne Kenny with us, of course. She is head of aging at Trinity College. And a big, long study over 18 years has shown that Roseanne was telling us there that basically your attitude to aging is the most important thing. Let's go to the phones again now. Okay. We have another Roseanne with a different spelling here. She's 61. Let's go to the west of Ireland to Sligo. Roseanne, you are at the other end of the spectrum when it comes to aging. You have zero maintenance in your life. Tell us about it.
Well, there's not much to say, really. I exercise and do things like that, but I don't have a skin routine particularly. I'm using castor oil at the moment, but sometimes I don't bother. I don't really wear makeup. I might put mascara on occasionally, and that's it. And I asked somebody yesterday how old they thought I was, and they said 49.
What? So hang on a second. Let's get this straight. You don't do anything. You don't even dye your hair. Is it true that you don't shampoo your hair?
That's correct. I haven't shampooed it since last August. I haven't always not shampooed it. I just started that regime last August, so I don't even shampoo my hair anymore. Don't put conditioner on. I don't dye it. But fortunately, I don't have that many grey hairs either.
And why did you stop shampooing your hair?
Well, actually, I swim a lot. And it was just they had maintenance at the gym, and I couldn't get in the pool, and the showers weren't working. And then when they got up and running, I didn't have any shampoo in my bag, and I just kept forgetting it. And they didn't have any; they hadn't installed the free shampoo that they. And I after about 10 days, I thought, well, I'm just going to roll with this and see how it goes.
And
because
how is
I was
it going?
Already doing it fine, absolutely fine.
So you get
really
in the shower after your sea swim, right? So you sea swim, which is brilliant. You're a sea swimmer. You're obviously fit. You're obviously in good shape. So you get into the shower and you just wash your hair with water.
Water, yeah. Sometimes I put apple cider vinegar on it, but not every time. Just occasionally I put apple cider vinegar on and that's it.
And you use castor oil on your face and that works for you too.
Yeah, well, I mix it with almond oil because it's a very sticky, thick oil. And if you mix it with another oil, it just helps it feel better because it is quite a sticky oil.
I believe you're very lucky, though. That's a lot of genetics because your dad didn't have any grey hair until he was in his 90s.
That's correct, yeah. Well, he did have some, but it was not predominant, put it like that. At the back of his hair, he didn't have any at the back of his head at all. He just had a little bit at the sides. And my mother, when she died, she wasn't completely grey either, and she was in her 70s when she died.
Right. Have you had any backlash when you talk to people about this, the lack of maintenance?
Not really. I think my sister went, ugh, when I told her I hadn't shampooed my hair. When I was talking to my sister, I haven't seen her, and she said, because she lives in England and I haven't been over, and she just said, ugh. That was about it, really.
So apart from the ew, you've kind of gone along and you're laughing. Do you know what's interesting about this? You probably put nothing bad on your body, though. Mm. I mean, Roseanne, listen to our listener here, another Roseanne. She really is very clean. Mm. She's clean living. Mm. She sea swims. Mm. She's not putting any parabens in any of these, products on her. What do you think about this?
I think that sounds like a very envious natural life that she's living. She mentioned a couple of things which are important. Sea swimming is great. Sea swimming actually is very good for us biologically, and it's been shown to enhance the use of brown fat. There aren't many things that trigger that, which gives us relatively for the amount of exercise we're taking more energy fueling. So sea swimming is great. It also releases
brown fat, just for listeners.
Yeah.
Is that the visceral fat around
your
organs? The dangerous
but
fat.
Some brown fat is generally good, but we don't have an awful lot of it. We do babies and in childhood, etc. It's white fat that we start to develop as we get older. But use of brown fat is a very positive thing, and sea swimming does that. It also triggers really good responses from the autonomic nervous system, which last throughout a 24, 48 hour period. So sea swimming is fantastic if you can manage to do it at all. And genetics matter. Genetics contribute to about 30% of how we age, and everything that the other Roseanne has described is rooted probably in genetics in terms of the hair colouring, etc. But the good news there is that 70% of how we age is within our own control.
70%
is not genetics. So everything we're talking about now, having a positive attitude, having physical activity, engaging with other people, the use of language, etc., that's part of what we call the exposome, the environmental things that influence how we as animals age biologically.
So Roseanne, who sea swims every day, doesn't use shampoo, has basically zero maintenance. At zero maintenance, but 100% positive attitude.
Yeah, her attitude is amazing. And also she's clearly embarking on a lot of physical activity, which is very important. And doing it with other people, because the pool she's describing, the sea swimming, you congregate. There are others involved. I do recommend that after COVID, we started to do yoga and things at home. We had to during COVID, etc. And I know a lot of people haven't gone back to classes and doing things with others. Peer support this morning is really what we're saying is very important for attitudes, for positivity, for discussing all of this. Even this discussion today, some people will say, God, that was cathartic. Mm. That's good.
Actually, it's interesting when you talk about peer support, because as we get older and the society we live in now, people don't even know their neighbours. Mm. So a lot of people withdraw unwittingly from society as they age. So that's a negative thing.
Yeah, it's very, very, very toxic, actually, because we need other people. We've evolved within tribes to need each other. So that's why I'm actually finding the discussion this morning and hearing people's stories so important and so rich. And I wish there was a way of capturing all of that, because it's much more identifiable than the science I can share.
Well, you know what's amazing? That you can sit in front of me here and that you can tell me that 70% of aging is within our control.
Yeah.
And you know what? I think that is very, very, it's very rich information today for people out there. And it's just very rewarding. Roseanne, I'm not surprised that you probably realize probably without even having the statistic that you are in control of your own aging destiny a lot of the time, because, you know, you've done all this without even thinking about it. It was almost a natural process for you to, you know, sea swim, not caring about what other people think, stop dyeing your hair, stop washing your hair with shampoo, and you're happy in your skin. Do you think that looking in the mirror every day, you're happy at what's looking back at you? Oh, we've lost her. We've lost Roseanne there. But anyway, I think I've encapsulated what she was saying. Do we have somebody else? Do we have Noelle on the line there? We don't have anyone else in line for a second. But can I read some of these texts out? Because it is important. And as you were saying here, Roseanne, it's just so important to hear these people sharing their experiences. I've just turned 70. I have been parachuting. I run an Airbnb. They're a super host. I have a great group of friends. I walk my dogs, look after an acre of garden. My husband and I go on holidays. He's the same age. He's a builder and still working. Age, what's that? Question mark.
Good girl. Because actually, the number of candles on our birthday cake says nothing about what's happening in the background biologically. That's the first thing.
So we should drop our chronological age.
Drop it. And that's why this business of, you know, Joe Biden at this age, just it isn't about his age. It's about the other factors that have come to light in the interim. So it's not about the number. It's not about the number. What is important in that last thing is pets. You heard about pets.
Yes,
pets are
dogs,
incredibly important, okay? Because you get a lot from a pet. A pet gets a lot from you. But also, walking, they force you to be physically active and to meet other people. You know, dog walkers talk to dog walkers in the park and even others who admire their dogs. So it's a way of engaging. Loneliness, social isolation is not good. Now, unfortunately, the one thing is that if you are lonely, if you are socially isolated, my saying that isn't going to help you, because that's, you know, it's almost a self-fulfilling prophecy. I heard recently about something which I'm absolutely going to do on my own road now. It's Super Friendly Friday. S-O-U-P-E-R, Friendly Friday. You just, a house does a big pot of soup, brown bread, some wine, and invites the neighbours in. So there's no pressure on having to cook, whatever. Yeah. It's not expensive.
No stress.
But it's a way of getting the community in. Isn't it lovely? I'd love, in Ireland, if we had Super Friendly Friday as part of our philosophy of life within communities.
You're absolutely right. And have that multi-generational experience. And it's so rich, isn't it? Let's go to Noelle. Noelle Cody just got in touch with us. She's in Kilkenny. Noelle, hi there. Good morning.
Good morning, Maura. How are you? And I'm enjoying the programme. Love this discussion.
Thank you very much. And you know what? It is a discussion that whether you're 20 or 60 or 80 or 90, it's relevant to all of us. Tell us about yourself.
Well, as I said to your researcher, Maura, I am 68 and a half. And I'm just back from Australia. I have visited my son who had a baby there. I was a nurse and midwife and nurse admin and public health nurse from my working life. And then when I retired, I started to look at becoming a celebrant, a wedding celebrant, which I did a course with the Irish Institute for Celebrants. And then I went on to become a legal solemniser. And later on today, I would have the privilege of marrying a lovely couple here in Kilkenny.
That's wonderful. So do you believe yourself that it's that kind of reinvention? And we talk a lot about kind of our second spring as we kind of go in kind of past menopausal years as women. Do you believe that embracing that has kept you young?
Absolutely, Maura. And I think the reinvention is very, very, very important, because as we go into our careers and we're doing career, I loved my career, but you're paying the bills, you're rearing children and you're doing all that kind of stuff. My husband, unfortunately, passed away 16 years ago. So I was involved, you know, in his care. And then after you get into your 50s, as your lady said there earlier, you start to become somebody else. You go back to being your real self, and then you can explore what that means. For me, it meant I got a lot of creativity and I did a lot of craft work, painting, anything, any kind of medium. I worked a lot in resin, all for my own enjoyment.
Yeah.
And then, as I said, I walk. I'm not great at the exercise, but I do walk almost every day.
But what you're doing? You're living your life, and you're living the life that kind of you own yourself now again. Noel, thanks so much for getting in touch with us. It's fabulous
not
to hear
hard.
From you.
It's lovely to speak to you, and I'm enjoying the programme.
Thank you so much. Let's take a break. Back in a second. You're all very welcome back. Eugene is on the line. Eugene, you've got about 30 seconds. You told us earlier on, I read out your text, that you ski, you play squash, you do all sorts of things. Tell us your secret to aging.
God, Maura, just running around the court, going down those slippery slopes 6 times a year in Zelmzy. That's what it's all about. Living life to its full.
You know what? I can hear it in your voice.
Yeah.
Eugene, thanks so much for ringing in with that vignette that is launching me in my own scheme.
Life is for living. Life is for living, Maura.
Yeah,
that's it.
And you're going to be 70 soon. Well, happy birthday in advance, even though we're not talking chronologically anymore, because Roseanne, our professor here, says I'm not allowed. I'm glad. Thanks, Eugene. Roseanne, I just want to thank you so, so much. But I want to mention your book, Age Proof, The New Science of Living a Longer and Healthier Life, Professor Roseanne Kenny. You should read it, because really it's got so much in there, because it's all about research. But give us that fact again, the 70%, before I let you escape.
Okay, 70% of having a longer, healthier life is up to ourselves. We are in control. It's not genetics.
It's not genetics, so we can do it. Exercise and a good attitude.
Exercise, attitude, curiosity, variety, friendships, social engagement, sharing with peers. That's the fun things.
That's the secret to it. That is about it. I just want to tell you all that are listening this morning to thank you for the tsunami of texts have come into the show. I think we need to go back to this subject again. Thank you so much, Roseanne, and everyone who we spoke to this morning. Stay tuned for Claire Byrne, who is up next. I will talk to you tomorrow. See you then.